Yeah, say hello to the bad guy. Bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by. I lay my money at a fast pace. So when we left off, Elbert Anastasia's running Murder, Inc., but federal prosecutor Thomas Dewey had started taking out these mob bosses. Lucky Luciano's now in prison.
Looks like Magnum P.I. mixed with Sloth from the Goonies.
So did he come up with the decimal system after this or before this?
He looks like a nerdy-ass librarian. Fuck you, Dewey.
Well, he looks like his book's hidden in that mustache. Or is that a comb?
Aha, in your face, Dewey. Fuck your mustache.
Now, it was a big hit business-wise for him with Luciano in jail. That was his boy. But in his personal life, he started to thrive, so he married this lady. She was Canadian, but she was an Italian-Canadian lady. That makes sense. She,
Italians come from Canada, too?
Yup.
Wow.
They have four kids, two boys and two girls. And they say he was a great dad. He would he would come home. He was a present father. He loved his kids. He was never showed any signs of any kind of anger or anything. He just said he just would flip a complete switch. He'd just go home and be like dad mode.
See, he was like the Iceman.
Yeah. And it got weird because shit gets bad at work.
That's fucked up when work is murdering people.
Right. And it's worse. Like, well, you kill people for a living. Like, yeah, and it's going to be a rough couple of years.
Business is going bad.
So next up on Dewey's chopping block was Louis Lepke Buchalter.
Ah.
Can you help me again?
And Lepke Buchalter.
Man, you make it look so easy.
So Lepke Buchalter, he's Anastasia's like...
And that's a rough name to say.
Yeah. Well, it's Louis Buchalter. They called him Lepke. It's like a Yiddish nickname or whatever.
Yeah, because Bucky isn't like sitting there staring you right in the face.
Right. Well, he's a professional killer. Maybe he didn't like that.
Lord High Buckmaster.
Bucky the Killer.
It sounds like the bootleg version of Chucky. Like the Mac Bucky. And me to E.T. Bucky to Chucky.
So Lepke, he gets charged with violating federal antitrust laws. And he jumps bail, and he goes into hiding. It's federal antitrust law. That's like labor racketeering.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really big when he wasn't killing people with Murder, Inc. for a living. He was really big in the garment industry. So he took over all the garment unions were big unions back then. So with the help of Anastasia, Murder, Inc., Buchalter was able to avoid the law for 2 years. And Thomas Dewey loses his shit. So he puts out a $25,000 reward. The federal government launches an international manhunt. They heard rumors he's in Poland and Israel. Like, they're checking all over to trying to find this motherfucker. He was hiding in Brooklyn all the whole time. They were just... they were moving him from a series of stash house to stash houses. And you know how
they were going now fucking that's the overseas Scooby-Doo shit. And fucking Nick Cage, Book of Secrets and this shit? Like... Going to the ancient pyramids to find this motherfucker and shit. And he's like, nah, it's some slummy apartment in Brooklyn.
He's at Zingerman's fucking grabbing a bagel.
Yeah, he's down getting some bagel and lox down on 53rd Street. Or I don't know New York geography. Do some research. 53rd isn't even in Brooklyn, idiot.
Yeah, so they can't find him anywhere. But now they start cracking down on the commission businesses. And even the commission didn't know where they're good. That's how good, like, Elbert stashed them. You know, he's one of their guys and shit.
Wouldn't be a safe house if everybody knew where the fuck you were.
Exactly. That's why it's fucking safe. So after a couple Message. Years, finally the commission's like, dude, we need to give them up. They're coming at us too hard. It's too much pressure. We're all losing money. We got to give them up.
They're not very good at keeping eyes off themselves.
Yeah.
Every move they make seems to make it a little bit harder on them.
Every fucking time, yeah.
Maybe commission, we should kill them.
Commission, good idea. Doesn't work good in theory.
Yeah.
And Albert's like, well, I mean, I don't know. That's my boy. I'm not going to kill him. They're like, well, I mean, you got to get him to turn himself in. He's like, he's not going to turn himself in. They're like, well, those are your choices. So Elbert Anastasia goes and finds Buchalter, and Buchalter trusts him because he's the guy that's been
stashing around forever. And he's like, look, good news. We reached out to our crooked connections and whatnot. And
oh, that isn't what this is. Oh, I just got this.
God damn, it smells like fucking breakfast.
I forgot where I was at.
How does that blunt smell like maple syrup? God damn.
It's what is it, White Russian?
Oh yeah. So that's
great.
So Anastasia, he goes and he goes and sees Buckhalter and he tells him, he's like, look, we made a deal. You're only going to have to do a couple years. It's going to be a slap on the wrist. You're going to go turn yourself in. They made all the arrangements. And he's like, all right, well, I appreciate it. You know, I've been on the run for a long time. It's getting shitty anyways. Hmm. So he goes and he turns himself in to J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI.
Wow.
And there's no deal or nothing in place. And they just fucking arrest him and take him to jail and shit.
I mean, that sucks for him, but I mean, fuck it. If you're going to turn yourself in, that's how you do it. You're like, fuck that. I'll meet J. Edgar myself. Like, yeah, he's the one that's going to take me in. Like, it sucks that he got hoed out like there was no real deal or whatever. That's why he turned himself in. But if you're going to, that's the way to do it.
Well, it seemed like even the smallest interactions were cinematic as shit.
So on April 15th, 1940, Buckhalter gets sentenced to 30 years to life in state prison for labor racketeering after a 14-year federal drug sentence.
Hmm.
So a long
time. So they're not
run
concurrently. They're
no.
So he's got to be in there for 14 years before that 30-year clock even gets going.
Yeah. Then that same year, 1940, Abe Reles, who was like the field general for Murder, Inc., he gets arrested on suspected murder, and he decides to turn state's evidence. Like, he can't do the time, and he thinks they got him. Oddly enough, it was actually kind of a bullshit arrest. They just wanted to put some pressure on him and see what he knew, and he fucking cracked and snitched.
I think their first mistake was calling themselves Murder, Inc.
Right. It's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was like Burger, Inc., they might not have had as many eyes on him.
Nah, that fucking little bitch-made motherfucker just turned his snit. Like, dude, just ride it out. Your boy was on death row, and he just rode that shit out to their, like, said it was trumped-up charges. If you probably got on there some bullshit, you said it was, like, a bullshit arrest or whatever, ride that shit out, then go on appeal and get out, or just ride that shit out and be in prison. Like, especially that's the field general, that like, that's, like, the second man in charge of Murder,
yeah.
Inc.,
yeah.
And you can't do some time in prison? Mm-hmm. What a little bitch made little piece of shit.
And what's crazy is he probably murdered as many. Abe Reles was a big time killer.
Mm-hmm.
But their trade off was like, yeah, but it's better to have all these other arrests. So, yeah, we could get him on like
right.
these. Yeah, he killed like 30 of these guys. But we want to take down like this big group of people, do this yeah. big bust kind of thing. So his testimony would take Lepke and five other Murder, Inc. hitmen to end up being executed in Sing Sing.
Wow.
Because that little weak-ass dude couldn't do some time. He got six people killed. So, I mean, they are murderers and assassins, but I mean,
yeah.
still.
Right, yeah.
Damn.
So, next, Reles says, all right, well, I'll give you Anastasia, too.
Mm.
And Anastasia's like, no, you won't. You want to bet, motherfucker?
I'm gonna shorten your sentence for you. I'm gonna do you a favor.
Yeah, so Reles agreed to testify that he could connect Anastasia to the 1939 murders of Morris Diamond and Peter Ponto. And Peter Ponto, he was strangled and buried in a lime pit.
Mm. I was about to say, don't this motherfucker know what happens to people that bear not even false witness, but just any witness to the Mad Hatter? You get disappeared. Why would you even say you know anything about the Lord High Executioner?
And everyone knows the Ballad of Peter Ponto.
Yeah. I've never wanted old Ali Alberto to get a hold of somebody so much in my goddamn life. I wanted to do an old school sound, like rip his tongue out and shit. Like, put his balls in his mouth.
Before he was able to testify in court on November 12, 1941, Reles was found dead on a restaurant roof outside of the Half Moon Hotel in Coney Island, where he was being held in police protection.
And it was a restaurant without roof access. So I really don't know how the fuck he got up there.
So look, here's the restaurant. They was in the hotel. So you see he fell from this window onto the top of this thing. And he had this this sheet next to him.
For people that don't know and don't see Locke's finger pointing it out, it's just a skyscraper. It's got like a terrace or something. So there's like a few floors up, then a terrace, and then a few floors more. And he just cracked right onto that terrace.
Now, I see his nickname is Kid Twist. Did they name him that after they found his body?
His name, Kid Twist, he actually stole from a gangster that was before him that was named Kid Twist.
So, that's the first red flag right there. Yeah. That's the first red flag.
That should have told you from the beginning when his nickname come from a stolen other gangster.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't wear dead man's shoes. You definitely don't steal a dead man's nickname.
Because Kid Twist, Zauerbach, did not snitch.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So most people looked at it and they're like, yeah, it looks like somebody threw them out his window and set it up to look like it was, you know, a suicide or something.
Oh, you think?
And the court was like, yeah, what's an accident? Bam.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
And that's the thing that, like, snitches and like, CIs, the confidential informants, all these people don't get is, like, even the criminals you're snitching on don't like you. The cops that you're working with don't like you. And, like, if you get killed, nobody cares about you because you've pissed off both sides. Juries aren't going to be on your side. Snitching is just, like, nobody likes you. All sides are against you.
Well, that's what you think those cops are going to put their life on the line for you. Like, nobody, literally nobody cares. Like
clearly you got thrown from the window and the jury and stuff, like, couldn't care less. Or, like, nah, fuck it, dude's a piece of shit. He's dead. Who cares? Gonna waste our time figuring it out.
So the death of Kid Twist basically put the stamp on the end of Murder Inc.
That sounds like a kick-ass mixtape. The death of Kid Twist.
So from Murder Inc.'s existence from 1931 to 1941, so 10 years, they're credited with between 400 to 1,000 murders.
Jeez, how many members? Do you know?
It varies, like up to 30, but not everybody was a killer.
Damn!
It was an entire Inc.
Yeah, but
Like I said, not everybody's a killer, so it's a big gang, but some people are car thieves.
You don't have that many bodies.
Some of those are HR, administration. I mean,
some of those were accidents. But I mean, still,
IT people.
There's only 30 people, and not all of them are killers. And you had how many bodies?
Between 400 to 1,000. So that's a lot.
So let's just say 25 of those people are the actual killers, right? That's how many bodies a person. That's crazy.
And we're talking about the Lord High Executioner.
So with Luciano in prison, Murder Inc. decimated, Anastasia's like, well, we're going to rebuild Murder Inc. And they're like, well, no, we're not really killing people like that no more. Like, this is a little, you know, it's the 40s. It's a little more sophisticated.
But
shit.
I want to kill.
Yeah. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to do then? And they're like, well, you're the underboss of the Mangano family. And he's like, psh, I don't want to do that.
I want to kill people.
So, you know, he puts his attention back towards the docks and starts doing what, you know, does what he knows best.
He's kicking around a can, all depressed on the docks because there's nobody to kill.
But then you get fucking 1941 to break out of fucking World War II, and he comes up with a plan. So he's like, look, these people are worried about spies and saboteurs on these docks. And I can make sure that there's no saboteurs and spies on this dock. I can make sure there's more saboteurs and spies on the dock. Like, I can make the docks however you want to do it.
I can turn the volume up. I can turn it down. Whatever you want.
How many spies you want.
Yeah. And you guys got to go. You want to try and invade Sicily, right? That's your plan?
Is he talking about the government?
Yeah, Anastasia. That's what he's saying. The government. Yeah. You want to invade this World War II. You got to invade Sicily. Yeah. I got guys in Sicily. That can help you do that. So we'll protect the docks and we'll help you, you know, invade Sicily.
How do you approach that? You're like, hey, you over there with the badge, come over here.
So he became like Shiv.
Yeah.
He's the man in the
know. So how he does it is what he does is he comes up with this plan and he gives it to Meyer Lansky. And Meyer Lansky goes and they take it to the government for him to see what they say.
Oh, my God.
So his plan is like, look, if we do this, tell them we'll do it for him if they let Lucky Luciano out. And they're like, well, they're not going to do that. He's like, well, I mean, just ask them.
You know? Just ask them. Just run it by them.
Dude, this guy's my favorite. So like, we're not through yet. That's the anti-snitch. These other motherfuckers are snitching to the government to get people locked up. He's like, hey, government, I'll do something for you. You gotta let people out for me to help you.
I'm gonna do something like, for you that you didn't even know was fucking possible. Yeah. But yet I do. And I'm going to address this. I'm going to propose it to you. That's absolutely insane.
Like, and before you say yes or no, just know, you gotta let my homeboy, one of the most notorious gangsters in American history, gotta let him out first. For me to even help you.
I mean, do you even really want to win this war?
I mean,
like, come on.
You want spies on these docks?
Do you
want
to win the war or not?
That's how you get spies on these docks.
So what they said is if they did it and they won the war, they cut his sentence down and let him out, but they'd have to deport him.
Hmm.
So they're like, all right, done deal.
It's an interesting compromise.
So, wait, this dude that just came up beating people up on docks is now bartering federal jail sentences with the U.S. government during wartime?
Yeah.
This
is awesome.
If you can find a lane, I mean, it's just that brain, that thought process is just, that's crazy.
All accounts, this guy should be electrocuted and dead right now. Instead, he's like, hey, Uncle Sam, scratch your balls, you scratch mine.
I got an idea.
Dude's the greatest.
So
crazy.
So they do it, and so he's in, and he thinks it's a good plan to support the war effort. He joins the army.
Did we win though?
Yeah, we won.
Spoiler.
he joined the army. He made it to the rank of technical sergeant, and he was stationed in Fort Indiantown Gap in Pennsylvania.
Hey, you were sergeant? Yeah, technically.
Technically.
He trained soldiers how to be longshoremen.
Oh my god!
Taught him how to do dock work and shit. Made it to a sergeant.
Did I ever tell you about the guy I killed? No, not that one. Not that one.
Locke loves to say it. It's his phrase. You want to say it or should I? Stick with the girl. You dance with the girl that brought you. Yeah. This guy's just been out there dock living.
He loves them docks, too.
He came to America because him and his cousin said, hey, look at those docks. And they just went to him like a moth towards light.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't even really make that connection until just now. That's literally how his story started.
This guy is just the mad docker.
Hey, Army, do you have any docks? Yeah. I can help you with them.
What are you good at? Docks. I'm good at docks.
In 1943, he received his U.S. U.S. citizenship for his military service.
Oh wait, he wasn't even a citizen yet.
No, and then in 1944,
damn, that's why he was only technically a sergeant.
Yeah.
In 1944, he was honorably discharged, and he moved his family to a house in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Honorably discharged.
Yeah. But now he didn't like being an underboss. Like, he's like, this shit's boring.
So he became a florist?
Well, in 1946, Lucky Luciano gets out and they deport him. So he goes to, he's in Italy. And Frank Costello's, like, in charge of the family. But he's, Frank Costello's the acting boss for Lucky Luciano wise over there. And Vincent Mangano's the boss of his family. And he's like, I don't like it. And Vincent Mangano don't like Elbert Anastasia either, so they fight all the time. Not like they'd argue in public, like to the point where they'd almost fist fight. And Mangano didn't like him because he's like, you're more boys with, you know, Costello and Luciano and these other guys. Like, you just work with them like you're independent, like you're part of my family. That shit should all go through me before you can do stuff like that.
So motherfuckers just hate him because they ain't him. Like, they just hate him because he's so awesome. Like, he's just out here kicking ass, being homeboys with top people. Hey, could we just take a second and just appreciate Lucky Luciano's eye for talent? This guy has picked so many fucking winners.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was just a dude on death row, and Lucky Luciano talked to Sheriff. She was like, hey, I got a guy. Luciano's like, all right, let's see what he's got. Get some, like, this guy should be electrocuted. Luciano gets him out, and now returns the favor. Luciano's just rotting away.
Yeah,
this motherfucker gets him out.
Yeah, he saw an opportunity.
He's the one that led him in the gang. Like, Lucky Luciano just had one hell of an eye.
And not only that, yeah, and he didn't approach them with something to for his benefit, obviously, yeah, but to for him to have that thought to be like, oh, okay, well, I can get Lucky out. Like, to, you know, to stake that good of an idea and that good of a proposal, because obviously it was a good proposal because they took him up on it. But to stack that and have it to where, yeah, that you can release Luciano is pretty, that's loyal as shit.
Well, and it is that loyalty. Like, when I was there, he did not give up on me. He got me out. If I can do anything.
I just love the story. Just like, hey, how did Lucky Luciano get out of prison? Well, the government made a bet with a serial killer. If they won the war, they let him out. So the murderer joined the army. We ended up winning the war, so they let Lucky Luciano out.
Yeah, if they weren't murderers, this would be wholesome as fuck.
This is crazy.
So if you look of all gangsters, there's a lot of pictures of Lucky Luciano. It's because he got out and got deported, and he was just
living
in Italy, like over there, and they could take pictures of him. Sure. He tried to go to Cuba, and they were like, hey, you gotta get the fuck out of Cuba.
Remember that that building with the bars?
And he did too. He's like, all right.
Okay.
I was trying. Wasn't murder.
He'd probably stand there and like dip his foot in there, like,
All right. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick smoke break, refill our drinks, and we'll be back in a minute.
Shackles to break out of. They cower solo, but mob them and they crowd us. Spilling in the street with heat like hot lava. Pop bottles, molotovs tossed and rocks follow. Ominous disciples like vipers, they strike quickly. Come at me like an army, I'm tearing you down with me. Spit like a baron, rulers of bread like Kaiser. Roll with the goal and get beaten like outsiders. These amateur animals swing in the wrong jungle. Climbing the wrong vines mean these lions will snuff you. Concrete wilderness building our own structures. Fighting our own order, appointing our own judges. Overthrowing authority, morally lack conscience. Fighting for survival with rivals with throat punches. Monitor the area carrying curved swords. Slither in the brush till we crush them with brute force. Men storming the harbor with armored attack armaments. Calling all guards to swarm them and skin their faces for ornaments. Order more troops to corner them, Agent Orange, and mortar them. Kill them all, just destroy them and let your guy get to sorting them. Court of honor corroded as soon as it was awarded. Celebrations were thwarted before they could be supported. Rolling thunder bombarded them, flaming dark put a part in them. Separate and disarm them and send the bulls to the parliament. Operation Niagara, Viet Cong, and the battle with. Grenades and flamethrowers to scatter them. Dear mama, this battle is harder than what we thought it'd be. Every part of me scarred, I'll be recognized when they mortar me. It's almost time to run, put on your army helmets now. You're running toward the sun with all your guns, defenses down. Flashes everywhere, the lights create an atmosphere. Water in your lungs, you pray for death, but life is here. You're about to die, face it, you're about to die. Zero sand in your glass, fuck it, you can't even cry. Put a dagger to your neck, just to keep yourself in check. Put a dagger to your neck, just to keep yourself in check. Everybody grab a side as you fight to stay alive. Dancing on a hand grenade so you can die and they survive. Silver bullets in the sky, dropping 7-second death. Scattering the children, run, rub until there's nothing left. Ashes in the water, sons and daughters holding flags up high. Wallow in the harbor as the military tanks arrive. Penetrate the border with disorder like an animal. Every war has the honor of turning kings into cannibals. Bow, hey. Cannibal kings wanna be-
All right, we're back. So Albert Anastasia can't get along with his boss, Vincent Magano. And the thing he didn't like was, he was like, I'm the underboss. And him and his brother, who was it? His brother, Philip. He was like, him and his brother, Philip, are running shit. And I'm the underboss. And he was like, well, yeah, because you're running this whole, you've been doing your own thing, like, forever, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't get along. And then on April 19th, 1951, Vincent Magano goes missing. They never find him. He's never seen ever again.
Really? Never found him?
No.
His brother offered that motherfucker.
Yeah.
His the same day, his brother Philip's body was found in like Jamaica Beach, New York.
How odd that they found him, but not the other. Which I think is out in like Long Island.
So when they go to the commission, because like the number one rule is you can't kill bosses without permission. So then now they got to go to the commission, and Anastasia never admitted to the murders. But he was like, but they were trying to kill me. So I'm just saying, either way.
Yeah.
If I had killed him.
It's all coming up, Alberto.
Would have been because I was defending myself. But I didn't.
Right.
But if I did.
But if I did.
That would have been
like OJ's book, If I Did It.
Right.
If I did it, this is how I would have done it.
If I had killed my
I didn't
boss.
Do it. But if I had. Well,
and most other bosses. So Frank Costello is running that family for Luciano, who's in Italy. So they're like, it's cool. Just let him, you know, it's cool. He's right. Just let him be. And the other bosses, they're most of them, they're like, all right. I mean, you don't want to poke them with a stick. So they're like, all right, fuck it. We'll just let it go. You're the new boss. But don't let this kind of shit happen again.
You know? Oh, no. Now that I'm boss, that's illegal. Yeah. We can't do that.
No more boss killing.
No more boss killing. I promise. Boy, this guy's something else.
So now he's the boss, but
is he bored?
He was like, he wanted to bring back the, like, he's like, why do we listen to the commission? Like, why do we not kill people no more? Why do we got to run it like a business?
And he started his shit.
See, he was trying to call time in. That's what Luciano said. They were playing the game. Luciano tagged somebody. He was like, all right, time out. And now fucking old Albert's like, no, we're trying to time back in.
We're
back to murdering motherfuckers.
I mean, it was a different time when I made that rule.
Yeah.
You know, things change. Snitching didn't exist when I started that.
I mean, I don't see why he even cares if they revert the rule. I mean, he's killing bosses to become boss either way, whether it's a rule or not. So fuck it.
So he was kind of a psychopath and a bit trigger happy as a boss.
Mm-hmm.
So
and as a human.
Yeah. So one day in 1952, there's this just this clothing salesman, Arnold Schuster, right? And he's on the subway or whatever in New York living, and he looks over and he sees this dude, Willie Sutton, who's this like famous bank robber or whatever. And he like reports him, and Willie Sutton gets caught, and it's like a big deal. And the guy gets interviewed and he gets an award, and they interview him on TV, and like mm-hmm. he's this big hero. And Albert Anastasia watches it on TV, and he's like, I don't like snitches, man. This is fucking bullshit. Like, this guy's just out here. And they're like, is that guy one of your guys or anything? He's like, well, no. But I
just don't like this. Just hates a dry snitch.
I just don't like this.
Yeah.
And so on March 8th, 1952, Arnold Schuster was found gunned down on the Brooklyn street.
The fucking snitch avenger.
Wow.
Dude, that's...
Tripped and fell, landed on a gun.
So now this upsets the commission again. And, you know, because the city don't like it, and they're like, fucking, now it's the same thing. They're putting pressure on the business. And,
I'm
like,
with Alberto. Fuck the commission. They got a problem with this?
Yeah, because one of the other rules is we don't kill people outside of this thing about, you know, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Shit. And Frank Costello's like, look, he's my boy. This is a rough one. He is still my boy. So Costello vouches for him again, and Anastasia's like, you're right. This time... my bad. Last time it wasn't really my bad.
Yeah.
But this time is for real.
Last time my was bad. Necessary. This
Well, hey, fuck that. He's the one that killed the like old bosses and shit. Without him, this fucking commission wouldn't even be there. Commission and shit.
Well, you gotta think too, like after a certain period of time, you expect some of these guys to slow down a little bit or just change their lane a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Try to adapt a little bit. But
I
not
get
him.
I get all their business moves and I get where their commission is coming from, but I don't know. There's a certain level, and definitely old Lord High Executioner, of all people, he's the Lord High Executioner, has reached the level where it's kind of like, fuck it, man. It's what he does. Let's just let the tiger be a tiger. You know what I mean?
Later that same year, on December 9th, the federal government filed suit to denaturalize him as a citizen again. They said he lied on his citizen application. They're like, you know what? My bad. We want our citizenship back, dude.
See, and all this shit I'm talking about the commission, that goes double for the government. This motherfucker was out there helping your boys learn how to be longshoremen, winning the war for you. Do you want spies on the docks? Did you want spies on the docks?
Because he knows where there's spies on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, government can take away his citizenship. Sorry for fighting for your freedom.
In 1955, he gets indicted on tax evasion charges, and they got him kind of dead to rights.
They Al Caponed him.
When he gets to court, when they show up to trial, two of the witnesses didn't show up. And then another one they couldn't get a hold of. Like, they just had a bunch of problems with the witnesses.
Lost his pager.
And then as they were trying to figure out what to do with the witnesses, he said, look, I'll do a plea deal for 1 year. And they were like, all right, 1 year, $20,000 fine. We'll call it a deal.
Yeah. Oh, that's wow. Awesome. Well, you know what?
God damn.
Also, because, I mean, we're thinking of him being a murderer and he just got off with 1 year and shit, but they got him for some tax evasion shit.
Yeah.
The fact that anyone, like, has to do a year of time because they didn't give the government their cut, like, that's really what he went to jail for anyway, so fuck it. Do a year for not giving the government their cut.
Yeah, and that was, like, their only course of action.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
for
saying.
Them to relent, though, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, because it's tax evasion. Like, who knows what may have happened down the line? He may have got off completely. He may have been able to pay his taxes.
But it's called tax evasion. Shit, like, no, everybody knows.
Yeah.
That's not why he's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but
so
they're hoping they get him in jail, and then once he's in jail, he's just going to keep on stabbing people up and stay in jail. That's probably what they're hoping.
This would be a little tricky to keep up with. Maybe not, but he has a series of unfortunate events in his criminal life and shit. So, on May 2nd, 1957, Frank Costello gets wounded in a failed hit attempt. He got, like, shot in the head, but he didn't die.
Wow.
And he decided to just retire. And he handed over the family to Vito Genovese, who probably shot him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, close enough.
Yeah. And at first, Albert Anastasia's like, that's my boy. What the fuck? And even Frank Costello's like, nah, it's commission's kind of going towards these young dudes. Yeah, Vito Genovese was looking at being like the new boss of bosses. And he's like, I kind of want to go to war. And then they're like, nah.
Is it time in? Costello's like, no, man, it's still time out.
That around that same time, at one point, they found out his new underboss. He killed his underboss and his underboss's brother when he found out that the guy had been selling memberships to the family. Was selling, you could get made for, like, if you had like $50,000, he'd let you get made as a member of the fucking it's now the Gambino family. And then
that's
they found out
fucked up.
So have you ever heard the phrase the books are closed?
Yeah,
that's when they did that, because after they found that out, they're like, hold on,
because that motherfucker was adding new chapters.
Everything.
Who's that guy picking his nose over there in the corner?
Right. How the fuck is
I come here every day. I don't see him doing anything. What is he?
That's like one of the first times they like closed the books. They're like, hold on. This dude's selling fucking you sold memberships to the mafia.
It's even a fucking country club.
Wow.
So
that's
he kills
crazy.
So Anastasia kills him and his brother. And he brings in Carlo Gambino as his new underboss. But what he doesn't know is that Carlo Gambino had been scheming with Vito Genovese for years to each take over their own family, then take over the commission.
Mm.
And he starts causing these, like, there's these little behind the scenes problem, and Albert Anastasia's already like a fucking live wire, so he's freaking out all the time. And then at one point, and he used to have Frank Costello saying, like, look, it's cool. But
now,
and Frank Costello, they used to call him like the mayor. You know, he was like, you know, he'd been around forever. He knew everybody. He knew all the politicians.
A lot of talk to people.
Yeah, once he was
situations.
Gone, and then, you know, he didn't have these people rooting for him. Then at some point, he heard that the people were making money running casinos and doing gambling and shit in Havana, down in Cuba. And he's like, dude, I'd like to move into doing casinos and gambling down in Havana. And Meyer Lansky was like, whoa, that's mine. That's off limits. And he was like, eh, I'm doing this new thing where I don't really care what the commission says. And
it's kind of a thing I've been doing for a while. I'm just sort of out with it now.
So I'm going to just start setting up shop in Havana anyways.
Wow.
And then that's when, once Meyer Lansky was like, all right, well, even Lucky can't save you now.
This one was just thinking like, all right, I get him fucking with all these other bosses, kind of. I understand it. Especially now when he finds out, yeah, all these bosses, this council shit, like they're selling fees. They're doing politicking to like stack the deck and overtake the commission. Fuck all this shit. But then to go toe-to-toe with Meyer Lansky, like that's the dude that's like above you. Like that's another level. Everyone below Luciano, go ahead, fuck with Albert, but fucking Meyer Lansky, he's that dude above you.
Yeah, you outlasted your relevance. You outlasted your usefulness.
Yeah.
You outlasted everybody that used to support you. You're kind of in no man's land right now.
So October 25th, 1957, Albert Anastasia, he goes into the barber shop at the Park Sheridan Hotel. He went there regularly and go get shaved up. He went there so often, his bodyguard walked across the street for a second. So I don't know if it's a setup or if it just
good old complacency.
Once Vito Genovese knew, once he got the green light, he knew right away, like, I know how to do it. I know where.
Mm-hmm.
I know fucking the spot. So October 25th, two gunmen with scars on their face, they run in while he's laid back in the barber chair and start lighting him up. At one point, he jumped up and jumped at him, but it was the mirror in the barber chair. And then he hit the ground, and then they finished him off on the ground. And
he scared.
So he went down fighting. It just was the wrong.
Himself.
Yeah, he jumped at the mirror.
How poetic.
Well, I mean, when you're getting shot full of bullets, always fighting you kind of lose your wits. It's almost like those scenes when the dude's getting beat up in MMA, and all of a sudden he tries to take down the ref.
This is one of the more famous mob murder pictures. Do you know Jay Styles?
Yeah.
If he's got this picture, I believe, hanging up in, or at least used to, at his spot.
Oh, nice.
His funeral was attended by a handful of friends and relatives. In 1958, his family immigrated back to Canada, and they changed their name to Anicio. Actor and former pro boxer Jack O'Halloran claims to be Albert Anastasia's illegitimate son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
No.
He was one of the dudes in Superman?
Oh, yeah. He's been a lot of shit.
Okay. No.
And it's funny, there's not a whole lot more to that story. That's it.
He just thinks it is.
Yeah. He's like, that's my dad. I'm his illegitimate son.
So I mean, so when we go to actors that are playing him, I'm gonna say Jack. I mean, like,
nailed
that's
it.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Space between those eyes makes him look a little more like Dewey's illegitimate child.
I think I said that's crazy like 8 times in this episode. So if anybody's taking shots every time, you might have died by now.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. The last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
So you guys ain't seen a picture yet. So before I show you a picture of Albert Anastasia, I don't know. The only physical traits I know I had was he was short and stocky, which it seems like that's most of the gangsters we cover.
I had Joe Pesci. Scary looking. Immediately.
Yeah.
But you guys had Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Who's a tiny little angry guy? I mean, there's tons of... That's most of Hollywood are always like 5'6" or something. So almost everybody... I mean, my mind goes to the same old people that always say like Jay Baruthal, Tom Hardy, like all these people that could play angry. I mean...
And for the record, every time we say it, we're not wrong. It's just that they can't play every one of them in the gangster movie.
Well, I mean, there's so many people that like... You don't take serious when they try to act like a badass. So you need someone that like just seems like he's a badass.
Right.
So, fuck.
So Jack
O'Hara. I don't know.
So here's a picture of Albert Anastasia.
Let's go. Okay, a little Tony Shalhoub mixed with...
Tony Shalhoub comes up more than you'd think.
Yeah.
Could be Raymond's brother.
Oh, Pat Garrett.
Yeah.
Brad Garrett.
Oh, Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
Who's Pat Garrett?
Was a sheriff, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he was.
He killed Billy the Kid.
He looked like if somebody took John Turturro and like scrunched his face down.
Oh, John Turturro's brother.
Nick Turturro?
Nick Turturro.
Yeah. Almost. He looks like somebody else, though. He looks like somebody that was in Goodfellas. I forget which actor. One of the side guys.
I don't even want to try because I know I'm not going to come up with it, so mm-hmm. I'll just be.
But yeah. Yeah, not Joe Pesci, though. Like
Jack Johnson. You know, he is Nick from New Girl.
Yeah, Jack Johnson.
But he's one of those actors that I couldn't take serious. I shouldn't say serious because he is a good dramatic actor. I've watched, he does a lot of indie films, but yeah, as a serious, angry guy, I don't know.
Well, now we got to do the DEFCON scale. Standard DEFCON scales 5 to 1, 5 being the lowest, 1 being the highest. But on the Bad Guy podcast, there's no good guys. So 5 would be Lee Murray, who's your drug dealing, kidnapping bank robber. And at 1, you got the Purple Gang, who's got multiple gang wars, multiple massacres, and they're killing people on the streets. So on a scale of Lee Murray to the Purple Gang, where do you rate Albert Anastasia?
You want to say it at the same time?
I want you because I might surprise. I'm very forgiving with people because I know what. Well, let's just not even play coy. We'll do it at the same time. I don't care.
1.
See, I thought we were doing a 3-count and say it. You just heard him say it. No, you can go ahead. Then I'll say what I had to say.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like a 1, like a legit 1, like a real 1.
A one, a uno,
like that. Yeah, that dude's a one. He's
like the fat dude on Varsity Blues when he's talking about the stripper. He's like a 10. She's a 10.
But I mean, I'm not even going to explain my 1. I'm just gonna say, listen to the fucking episode.
Yeah,
all right.
That's my justification for my 1.
Now this guy, I think he is a layup 1, which I think you're being coy because our first time in the studio was Tommy Karate, and that guy was a certified 1.
Yeah,
I think we called him a 2.
No, did we?
I don't know. I'd have to recheck.
No, because he put a bitch's head in the freezer.
You might be right. Maybe, I don't know.
But he did. Then again, right,
you two
now,
are lunatics.
That's,
I mean,
well, I'm just saying.
Well, I say that to preface what I'm about to say now. Yeah. I think this guy is a layup 1, but I'm going to say 2, knowing damn well that you're going to go with 1 and it turns into 1. I'm fine with him being a 1. The reason why I go with the 2, though, is for the same reason that I give all these guys forgiveness. Business, baby. He keeps that shit in check when he's at home with his kids. But even saying that, I guess if you just went against him, he's just like, well, I want you to be killed. So some of his shit wasn't so much. But even those guys that he did that with were people in the mob. That he was like, nah, I don't agree with you. I want to do what I want to do. It was really people that just wanted to stop him. But then again, murdering people because they want to stop you isn't good. So I'm talking myself into a 1. But yeah, I don't know.
Because not all the people that he killed were mob people. Even in the doc shit before it was mob.
Yeah.
Those weren't mob people. Those were.
Hey, he got acquitted of those charges. Nobody knows. Nobody saw nothing.
So I go into it in advance knowing I'm going to have this conversation with you. Right. So I think in advance, was it business? And I think when you look at that guy that he killed, or some of these guys, once he got to a point where, why are you ice picking a guy when you are the boss?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that makes it like,
maybe it wasn't business.
It's technically business related, but I mean, come on.
The deciding factor for me was that if the things that he did were to advance what he was doing, for some reason, I would look at it differently as he just did it because he wanted to. He liked to kill.
Mm-hmm.
He actually liked it. So that was kind of like for me.
That makes
like,
you a one, I think. Yeah. You're a fucking killer.
If you like it, it's not something you have to do in order to advance yourself or to protect your family or, you know, even if it's crime, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, he really enjoyed it. And he was known for enjoying it, so.
So we're going to call him a DEFCON 1.
All right. Flush the bombers, get the subs in launch mode. We are at DEFCON 1.
Well, this is Say Hello to the Bad Guy. Thanks for coming, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, say hello to the bad guy. Bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Last. Smell that dope when I pass by. Best I lay my money at a fast pace. Say hello to the bad guy. Bad guy. Guy coming last place. Smell a dope when I pass by.
Down bad, my mama had to be dad. Spent my birthdays in the trap, we had to work with what we had. She been working on a raise while trying to raise me like a man. Plus my daddy in the box and all my cousins in the cam. And I don't need 100 friends, I just want 100 bands, 100 jukes, 100 scams. Ay, ay. So I done money grabbed 100 hams. Said I done money grabbed a bunch of bands. And I ain't wanna fall victim to that system or the pistols. Fuck a judge with a grudge, I'm blowing crud for my mental, ay, ay. And I still keep it on me. Run and tell your big homie before you meet your dead homie, ay. Yeah.
Say hello to the bad guy, bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by. I lay my money at a fast pass. Say hello to the bad guy.
I just did the dash, hey, in the fast lane. Let my money at a fast pace, look like a drag race. Control re-up in my ashtray, I'm in my bag, hey. Good girl, bad face, slim waist and her ass fake, hey. And she in love with the bad guy, hey. But bad bitches never act right, hey. She act up until that bag fly. Did a turn around in one night, hey.
Say hello to the bad guy, hey. Good guy coming last place. You smell that dope when I pass by.
I lay my money at a fast pace.
Say hello to the bad guy. Good guy coming last place.